What do you offer for freedom? Said Philip. What is your most precious possession?
Why, my poverty, mein Herr. If you would take that from me, I will endure.
The guardsmen lining the great hall shifted their feet. The castle stone was damp and cold and smelled of nitre. Falkenstein looked at him sharply, and slowly a red crescent split his beard. At that signal, subdued chuckles rippled through the room. Herr Philip said,
Who is your master, and what will he do to ransom you?
My master is Jesus Christ, and he has already ransomed me with his blood.
This time Falkenstein did not smile.
I grant each man one jest. Two mark you as clever. Now answer straight, who do you serve?
The guards stiffened a little when Dietrich reached inside his scrip, but his knife had been taken from him, along with the copper wire. Only the crankish head harness, mistaken for a sacramental of some sort, had been left him. He pressed the sigil, as he had done repeatedly since being captured.
Mein Herr von Falkenstein, he said distinctly. I am Dietrich, pastor of Oberhochwald, a village in fief to Herr Manfred von Hochwald.
Will he pay to have you back? Does he like clever priests who make jokes at his expense?
He turned to his clerk and whispered some instruction.
The Duke will not take kindly to this theft, Dietrich suggested.
Philip's head snapped up. What theft?
It requires no subtlety of thought to suppose that the casket contained material of some value to Albrecht. Silver, I suppose.
Philip nodded, and one of the guards stepped forward and slapped Dietrich across the face.
Freiburg is rightly mine, Philip told him. Not Urach's, not Habsburg's. I'll have my dues.
After that, he sent Dietrich back to his cell. By Florentius day, the sky beyond the window had turned sullen, and a bitter wind pressed its way into the cell. In the distant sky, Dietrich marked the lazy jot of a raptor. Dark clouds gathered in the southwest. He could taste the metallic crispness of the air. A formation of storks flew south. Falkenstein was a greedy man, and that often meant a stupid man, but Philip did not lack for cunning. The silver would be missed in Vienna. And the Habsburg Duke, with vassals spread from East Reich to the Swiss, was not to be trifled with. Falkenstein's hope must be that suspicion fall upon the Jew. None who knew otherwise would ever leave Falcon Rock. Dietrich leaned through the balusteria and peered down the sheer walls of the keep to the ragged bedrock of the precipice. Not that Falkenstein need fear anyone leaving. The distant bird had come closer, and Dietrich saw now that it lacked wings. Before he had quite grasped that, the apparition swooped toward his window, and he saw that it was a crank wearing a peculiar body harness. Hovering, the creature packed a sort of earth to the slit window, into which he pressed a small shining cylinder. Dietrich heard a voice from above and the clatter of hobnails on stone. He yanked the head harness from his grip and strapped it on.
Away from the window, move away from the window, quickly.
Dietrich ran to the far corner of the cell just as thunder clapped, and the air hurled him against the door. Shards of masonry pelted him, pebbles stung his cheeks, his ears rang, and his arms and legs went numb. Through the dust he saw that the slit window had become a gaping portal. As he stared, a portion of the balustrade above slid loose with a grinding rasp, and a shrieking armsman plummeted, arms flapping uselessly past the hovering demon.
Quickly, said the voice in the head harness. I must carry you. Do not lose your grip.
The crank entered the cell, and with a swift motion encircled Dietrich with a girdle of some sort that snapped into an eye on his harness.
Now we see if the weight exceeds the craftsman's boast.
The crank sprinted toward the hole in the wall and leapt into the sky. Dietrich had one glimpse of terrified faces along the battlements. Then the winds had him, and his rescuer soared through a hiss of arrows. When Dietrich looked down, he learned the terror of the first Falkenstein riding lion-back across the inmost sea. Houses, fields, castles had become as children's blocks. Trees were shrubs, forests mere carpets. Dietrich's head spun. He thought the ground was above him. He vomited out his stomach, and darkness had him.
He awoke on the edge of the stubble field by the great woods. Nearby, a yearling pig, its winter nose ring in place, rooted under a decayed log. Dietrich sat up suddenly, causing the pig to squeal and flee. Hans sat just within the forest, with his knees above his head and his arms wrapped around his legs. Dietrich said to him, "You came for me."
"You had the copper wire."
Dietrich shook his head. "Falkenstein has it." Hans made the tossing gesture with his arm. "I could ask the coppersmith to draw more from what remains of the ingot, but that was his payment. He'll want another." Hans's mandible stuttered. Then he said,
"The copper is all. It needed every effort to work that one small seam."
He stood and pointed.
"You can walk from here," he said through the Heinzelmanken. "To fly you closer would show myself."
"You showed yourself to the guards at the Berg."
"They died. Those who did not fall when the wall collapsed fell to my pot de fer."
Max's fabled weapon revealed at last. Dietrich did not ask to see it. "What of the other captives?"
"They are nothing."
"No one is nothing. Each of us is precious in the Lord's eye."
Hans gestured toward his bulbous eyes. "But not in ours. You alone were useful to us."
"Even without the wire?"
"You had the head harness. With that we could find you." "Dietrich."
Hans pried a piece of bark off a fur and crumpled it between his fingers.
"How much colder will it grow?"
"How cold? It will likely snow soon."
"Snow is what?"
"When it warms, it becomes water."
"Ach."
Hans considered that.
"So how much then this snow?"
"Perhaps to here," Dietrich marked his waist, "but it will melt again in the spring."
Hans stared statue-like for a time. Then, without another word, he bounded into the forest.
Dietrich went straight away to Manfred and found the hare in the rookery with his falconer examining the birds. Manfred turned with the hoodwinked kestrel on his fist.
"Ah, Dietrich! Everard told me you had lingered in Freiburg. I had not looked for your return so soon."
"Mein Herr, I was taken prisoner by Falkenstein." Hochvold's eyebrows climbed.
"In that case, I would not have looked for your return at all."
"I was rescued." Dietrich glanced at the falconer who stood nearby. Manfred, following Dietrich's glance, said,
"That is all, Hermann."
When the servant had gone, he said,
"Rescued by them, I take it.
How?" "One came in his flying harness and spread a paste around the slit window. There followed a thunderclap and the wall collapsed, whereat my rescuer gathered me up and flew me here."
"Ha!"
Manfred made a gesture with his free hand. The kestrel shrieked and flexed her wings.
"Thunder paste! And a flying harness!"
"Nothing supernatural," Dietrich assured him. "In Franconian times, an English monk named Aylmer fastened wings to his hands and feet and leapt from the summit of a tower. He rode the breeze the distance of a furlong."
Manfred pursed his lips.
"I saw no English birdmen at Calais."
The swirl of the air and his own fright at being so high caused Aylmer to fall and break both his legs, so that ever after he limped. He attributed his failure to the want of tail feathers.
Manfred laughed.
"Needed a feather up his arse? Ha!"
"Mein Herr, there are other prisoners in need of rescue." He explained about the Jew's caravan and the Habsburg silver.
Manfred rubbed his chin.
"The Duke lent the Freibergers money to buy back the liberties they sold to Urach during the Barons' War. I suspect the treasure was a payment on those loans. Mark me, one day the Habsburgs will own the Breisgau."
"The other prisoners?"
Manfred waved a dismissive hand.
"Philip will free them, once he's taken all they have."
"Not having seized the Habsburg silver, Falkenstein's safety lies in their silence.
Albrecht may assume the Jew absconded with the treasure. Since you have already escaped, he gains nothing by silencing the others. And a de Medina would not be tempted by such an amount. Albrecht knows that."
"Mein Herr, a coil of especially fine copper wire I had drawn in Freiburg for the Krenken